This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars for any reason imaginable. We're going to leave a link right there in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head."
That's right. Jesus is approached by these two onlookers. Him and his disciples they're about to get in this boat and cross over the Sea of Galilee. And one of the disciples asked him, he said, "You know what? I want to come with you. Where do I do? What do I go? How do I go with you?" And Jesus says this, and he's not shutting the guy down, like saying, "Hey, you can't come with me." What he's saying is, this is not going to make you rich and famous. This is not going to be an easy life. You're going to have to really count the cost of the Christian life. And I think this is a message that I sometimes forget, especially when the ministry is growing, when things are going well. I forget that this is a costly and I don't want to say difficult life, but it is. It's just a very costly life.
Yeah, I don't think difficult is the wrong word for it.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It is. I love it, and I can't imagine doing anything else, but it is difficult at times.
Yeah.
But it's so worth it. It's so rewarding. And Jesus was reminding him there. He's like, "Hey, your rewards will not be temporary. Your rewards will not be," what I mean by that is here on earth, temporal. Mm-hmm. They won't be physical, but your rewards will be in heaven.
That's
and
right.
It's a reminder too. I mean, this is Jesus essentially saying that he doesn't have a home. He doesn't have a place to call his own.
Yeah.
And
you
it's
don't
a
think
reminder
about the Son of God being homeless.
Right, exactly. But it's a reminder that, you know, this life, while we're called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, this is not our home.
That's
this
right.
is not our final destination, and we are meant for eternity with God in heaven.
100%. Well said. Speaking of things that cost a lot, I saw something this morning as I was getting ready. We had a whole episode planned for today, and I said, I saw this TikTok, and I said, "Man, I think I can really, we can make a good episode out of this," because
okay.
I saw something on TikTok regarding a wedding. You're
sure.
married.
I am.
I'm married.
You're married.
We've both.
David is not.
David's not married, which is fine. That's fine. We've both had weddings.
Yes.
Weddings can be quite the expensive endeavor.
They can.
I want to show you this TikTok, and I just want to get your feel I just want to get your feel for it.
Okay.
All right, TikTok, tell me if I'm tripping or not. So me and my fiance, we are getting married, right? And to be a part of our wedding, you have to pay $450 for a ticket, and that's for each guest. So we invited friends and family to our wedding. Tell me why.
Pause it real quick.
Hold on a second. I want to make sure I'm absorbing that correctly.
Yeah.
To be a part of our wedding, you have to pay $450.
So if you and I, when he says be a part of it, he doesn't mean be in the. He means like attend.
Right. This is not like bridal party. This is like if you want to come and see us get married, you have to pay $450.
If you don't take the kids, that's $900 for you. How much is it if you do take the kids? Hold on 1 second. You got
$450 times 7.
$450 times 7. Bro, you're paying $3,000 to go watch this guy get married.
I already have opinions, but let's watch the rest of the video.
We already have spun 100. Maybe.
Spunt? Wait a minute. Pause right there. Spunt? Pause right there. He said spunt.
Yeah.
As in the past tense of spent.
But you want me to, you've spunt.
Spend. We spend money or we have spunt money.
You spunt 200K, but you want me to pay 450 to come to your wedding.
Okay. All right.
Go for it, man. Let me hear.
We have spunt 100, maybe almost close to $200,000 on a wedding. We have already pre-ordered the cake. We already put down a deposit for the venue.
That's not a lot. That's that's a lot, but that's a huge gap, by the way.
Everything how do you we pay?
How do you be like, we've spent 100, maybe close to 200. That's
spunt,
like, that's double.
Spunt is sending me.
I can understand spunt. If he was like 190, maybe close to 200. He was like, we've spent close to 100K, maybe close to 200K. It's like, bro, that's such a huge
that's
difference.
That's a huge
which
gap.
Which is it?
That's literally double what you just said.
I'm sorry, David.
Everything for the wedding. DJ, photographer. Everything
great, and I love that for
and
you.
And what I don't understand is that y'all spend 400 more money on stupid stuff, but you can't come out to support your family and your friends at a wedding. Like, tell me if I'm wrong. Tell it.
You're
like,
wrong. You're wrong. Yeah, you're 100%
like,
wrong.
Like, let me know. Let me
you
know.
Are.
Because y'all pay for tickets, Beyonce tickets, $1,000 tickets. Y'all going to go meet Chris Brown for $1,000-something, but when it comes to your friends and
no
your
way
family,
Beyonce tickets are $1,000.
They probably are.
You think so?
Yeah.
Like, these weddings ain't
probably
cheap.
Wow.
Like the weddings ain't cheap. Like what's going on? Like, I don't get it. Like, let us
bro,
know
what it
we're
is.
Wrong for charging
what's
for
up?
Like, I really, really want to know.
Okay.
You really want to know? I'll tell you. You really want to know.
Go for it, Ryan. You lay them out.
I ain't about to go ham on this
go,
dude.
Go for it.
Number one, I'm not gonna call names, but that position that you just took, which was not bolstered by your use of the word spunt. Not a word, by the way. The past tense of spend is spent.
That's right.
Not spunt.
He's right. He's out of line, but he's
you
right.
You are absolutely egregiously, disgustingly mistaken if you think people are going to pay $450 per person to come to your wedding.
The thing is,
you are a lunatic.
It's a sad truth, but they care more about going. And I hate to tell you this, but they care more about going to see Beyonce than they do coming to see your wedding. I hate to say it. If
they go see Beyonce, they're going to get a performance.
They're paying
to see a performance.
100%.
They're not paying to come watch you marry the love of your life. As much as they love you, as much as they want to support you, they do that by attending and by giving you a wedding present.
Right.
That's how you support. Maybe they'll give you a little bit of cash. Yeah. It's not your wedding guest's job to compensate you for the cost of your wedding.
That's true, man. If I'm paying you to come to this wedding, I'm expecting you to serve me. You understand what I'm saying? This is a service. When I pay Beyonce, I don't go see Beyonce, but when I pay to go see a concert, that person owes me a performance.
I have paid for a service and I expect to get it. So, if I just paid the band to walk out on stage and say, hey, and shake each other's hands, no, absolutely not. I'm not paying money for that.
Yeah, yeah. They owe me because I pay. So if I'm paying to come to your wedding, you owe me, brother. And what are you going to do? What are you going
to
do?
It is also, I'm going to circle back to this. It is not the responsibility of your wedding guests to compensate you for the cost of your wedding. The cost of the wedding falls to the people getting married. Most of the time, it falls to their parents.
Calm down, man. You're getting heated.
I'm irritated.
You're getting heated.
I'm irritated. I'm sorry.
Let me get you a cold water.
Let me calm down. Let me make sure I still have my $450 in my pocket because I for sure I'm not coming to your wedding.
I'm
for
not coming $450.
That's not. I'm gonna wish you the best. I'm gonna pray for you from a distance.
And you know what's sad, man? Your friends and family ain't coming to your wedding either. I hope this was posted not very long ago, maybe like a week ago. I hope you done dropped that price, man. Because I want your parents to come to your wedding.
You know, this brings up an important point. We need to go to commercial, but this brings up an important point. People spend a lot of money on weddings, lots of money on weddings. But what you should be doing is investing in your marriage.
Yeah.
Because a wedding is over in a couple hours. hours.
That's just a
your
party,
marriage
man.
Is the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So
you know what me? You know what me and my wife ate? We had like food and stuff at the party, but you know what we had? We had Burger King on the floor of our new house. We didn't eat a mouthful of our wedding dinner. Yep. Just no time.
Yeah.
She sat there in her wedding dress and ate Burger King. That's a true story.
If you would take that deal, or if you think people should, or if you have opinions on this, I want
to
hear your opinions.
Yeah, we need to hear that.
Because we can't be operating in isolation. Write in and let us know your opinions.
Especially if you would pay $450 to go support your friend. I want to hear from you.
Justify your position.
Yeah, I want to hear from you.
Immediately. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, Clearview family. I'm Nicole.
And I'm David.
And we want to talk to you today about the Clearview app.
You know, there are so many churches out there that put their sermons on YouTube and their announcements on Facebook and their prayer list on Periscope.
I didn't even know Periscope was still functional.
Oh, it's not. And that's why nobody can find their church's prayer list and nobody's prayers be getting answered. But here at Clearview, we believe in making our content as accessible as possible.
That's right. Clearview produces so much content every single week, including Dr. Shaw's sermons, original music, a full online store, weekly prayer gatherings, and so much more.
Not to mention the number one best-selling Christian talk show of all time.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, maybe not yet, but that's why we want people to download the app.
If you're listening from the Triangle area, we encourage you to check out Clearview Church in person. But if not, you can still follow all of our content on the Clearview app. It's 100% free on the Apple Store and Google Play Store. And best of all of our content is right there in one convenient spot.
Make sure you download the Clearview app today, and let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinav Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhinav Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's episode. Dr. Shah, someone invited you to a wedding.
Okay.
A wedding, right? And then they said, hey, I really want you to be there. It'd mean a lot to me. We've been friends for years. It's $450 per person to attend the wedding.
So I have to pay?
To go to the wedding. That's the ticket.
Mm. Now, you know, I do so many weddings and people pay me.
Yeah, right, right.
I don't charge for weddings or funerals. They both are sad. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't charge. Just kidding. No, weddings are great. Mm-hmm. I love weddings. But I don't charge.
Right.
But they pay for me, so it's kind of hard to say. But no, if I was just an objective,
you're just a
nominal
attending.
Person yeah. attending, unless it's like my family and they need this money to rent this venue, and without that, it's not going to happen. So everybody has to chip in, maybe.
So you would do it. So I was going to say, imagine if your sister emailed you or texted you or called you and said, hey, we're getting married. I've already spent $200K. I'm not going to lie. I'm
$200K?
$200,000.
No, I'm not paying anything.
See, that was what I said. Like, no. if it's family, like if they need the money, then yeah. But yeah. if you've landed yourself in this boat.
I don't want $200K from you.
$1 million. And you need more.
No, right. She says, I don't want $200K from you. I just want the $450 per person. So for you and Nicole, that's $900 nope. just to come to the. Mm-mm. Not going to happen?
No, it's going to happen. Nope.
I will look forward to seeing the pictures after the
I would say let's descale your wedding. Let's,
right.
Let's do it.
I'm already so heavy
church.
In debt.
It'll be free. Let's do it in the fellowship hall. Your reception will be free. Let's use the $200,000 to put a down payment on something
right.
like a house, like a car.
Yeah.
Not a party.
Yeah.
Not a party.
Not a party.
You don't need to be in Hawaii.
We asked your wife off mic before we started recording. And when I say vehemently against paying to go to a wedding,
yeah,
vehemently.
She was offended at being asked.
Like at least, yeah, she didn't even want to be asked. No. She wasn't like, you were like, well, I guess maybe I wouldn't like it, but I would do it. And Nicole was like, oh. I was like, dang, you're just making noises now.
Well, you got to when somebody invites you to something like that, there's a cost involved. You got to count the cost and see if it's worth it to
That's
actually
true.
Attend.
That's
if it's
true.
If it's, you know, if it's someone's wedding, obviously you want to be there for that person. But do I care enough about you to drop $450 after you've already landed yourself in this position for maybe irresponsible financial choices?
We watched a TikTok about it. And the thing that was funny to me was the guy was it wasn't like he was baffled. He was angry. He was like, y'all just spend money on stupid stuff. And y'all can't. But when it comes to y'all friends and family, it's like, nah, buddy.
No.
We're not going
to
pay for it.
I was already kind of on the fence just about coming to the wedding if it was free.
Right. You are in the wrong. And we will gladly remind you of that.
Have you ever counted the cost of something, Dr. Shaw, where you got up there? I think we've talked about this before. Like, you got up to the register. You got up to whatever decision you were about to make. And you were like, you know what? I'm not doing this.
Yeah, it depends on what it is. If it's something very precious, valuable, I will not get another opportunity. You know, I travel
right
across the world, and I will come across a great deal on this book, this antique book, or something that I think this statue or this thing will be great. Then I have to kind of go back and look at my finances. Say, okay, I think I can afford this. I was going to buy this and this. I guess that's out. This is going to be. So I will do that mental calculation before I get to the desk, before I get to the checkout desk. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a time. I don't know if you remember this, but we went to, for a Converge college and career, we went to a water park.
Yeah.
And I had spent most of the month leading up to it saying, I'll ride anything at a water park. No right. problem at all. Right. And roller coasters, I don't do, but a water park, I'll do anything. And I remember we got there and we saw the Daredevil drop and everybody was like, oh, let's do it. Let's do it. And we got there and I was like, Dr. Shaw, will you do it? And he was like, yeah, I think I'll do it. I'll get Nicole to like take a video of it or whatever.
Right.
And I remember getting there and seeing the shit. It's like 76 feet tall. It's 80 feet
tall. It's pretty intense.
And I remember getting there and I looked at the slide. And I looked at Dr. Shaw, and Dr. Shaw looked at me, and then he looked at the slide, and we looked at each other, and I think we both realized, like, this ain't happening.
Right. Not this ain't happening.
No, I was going to, like, this is going to look so cool, you know? Yeah. Facebook, everybody's going to be like, look at that pastor.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
Not happening.
No. I don't care.
Same thing.
It's all right.
Same exact thing.
So. People don't usually count the cost when it comes to following Christ.
Right.
I mean, we're kind of joking, making light of things, but when it comes to like actually following Jesus and what it means to take up the mantle of the Christian life, sometimes people don't really know what that entails. It's just like, hey, I don't have to go to hell. Cool. That sounds great. But there's much more involved in actually, you know, following through with after salvation, after the point of salvation, then the Christian life actually begins.
Maybe you can speak to that, Dr. Shaw, because we hear so much, you know, salvation full and free. It's a free gift.
Yeah.
So how could it also have a cost? You know what I mean?
I believe you need to count the cost. Mm-hmm. Okay. What are you willing to give up in order to be saved?
Right.
It does not mean you have to give up in order to be saved. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between counting the cost and actually paying for it.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
Counting the cost is doing that math in your head that this may cost me my family. This may cost me my friendships. This may cost me this, that, and the other. But I'm already willing to put those on the altar
right.
so I can have Christ and salvation and eternal life. Paying is what sometimes what we call the Lordship salvation perspective. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lordship salvation pretty much says you should give up everything to follow Christ.
Right, right.
And I think that's bordering on discipleship.
Hmm.
You know, that becomes discipleship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What they're saying is discipleship comes before evangelism. And that's not correct.
Discipleship comes before evangelism.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because discipleship is a process of learning how to follow Christ.
Yeah.
Discipleship is a process of becoming like Christ.
Right.
And becoming like Christ means learning to die to yourself, really reckoning yourself dead, like counting the fact that you are dead. It's not about you. It's not about your life. It's not about your wants, your desires, your needs. It's about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough process to learn how to die.
Right. So the giving up doesn't actually, that's not what saves us. It's not me saying I'm willing to give up all this stuff, therefore I'm saved.
Right, right. Right. It's not that. And I think that's where Lordship salvation, I cannot follow Lordship salvation.
Right.
Although I tell people, you need to receive Jesus as your Savior and your Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Or you need to receive Jesus as your Savior and your Master or Savior and King.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mean the same thing as the Lordship salvation people are saying. What they're saying is you should receive him as your Savior and your Lord, meaning that he already now is controlling every area of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
He's already controlling. And if he's not controlling, that's where the problem comes with lordship salvation. Because I agree with them. He should be controlling. Yes. But if you say that he is controlling, I don't think I can be saved.
Because there may be something in my life that I haven't get, that I'm struggling to give up.
I still have to learn to give that up.
Right. Yeah. A process of learning what it means to die to yourself. So if I can't check off all those boxes, then I haven't reached, according to this, I haven't reached the
point
of salvation.
You're not saved.
I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, promised land is not heaven.
Right.
Israel is not heaven. Mm-hmm. Israel is the Christian life. Mm-hmm. So when you enter Israel via the Jordan River, that's like getting saved and you're becoming Christian. Now you have to take on Jericho. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you have to take on Ai and then the rest of the cities all over Israel. Right. Mm-hmm. So for me to say he should be the master of your life, lordship salvation, people are saying all these cities now belong to God.
That's a great comparison.
Will you say it one more time?
Lordship salvation, people say, when they talk about Jesus being your savior and your master,
right,
what they're really saying is that all these cities belong to God. Mm-hmm. I would say, technically, no. Philosophically, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, the promised land has already been given to the people of Israel. The Ammonites, the iniquity of the Ammonites is complete. They are done. They need to be driven out. Their time is up. Mm-hmm. Those cities belong to the people of God. But we have to fight. Mm-hmm. To take those cities.
To retrieve them, to get them.
To get them, starting with Jericho, which was an easy one, but then it became harder from there. Mm-hmm. So also the Christian life. When you say Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, what you're saying is, yes, they do belong to every area of my life, my thoughts, my money, my education, my talents, my resources, my body. Everything belongs to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But it does not mean that at this moment, it belongs to him.
Right.
I have to learn. Maybe my wallet belongs to him. Maybe my mouth belongs to him. I don't cuss like I used to cuss. But does that mean my thoughts completely belong to him? Does that mean my time is really belonging to him? No, that is a discipleship.
Yeah. And lordship salvation, people would say, well, if it doesn't belong to him, if
then you're
still
not saved.
So can you sin? Would they say that you're allowed to sin?
They would say, yes, you can sin and you can repent and get back. But it puts a level of requirement that's really discipleship. So you're not? Why not? Do you not understand what it means to be saved? And it's like, yes, but don't I understand what it means to cross the Jordan and be in the promised land, and this is now our land, but I still have to fight for these cities?
Right.
So if you're telling me that I'm not saved, if I haven't surrendered all these areas, does that mean I was so far, maybe I thought I was standing on this side of Jordan, but I was standing on the trans side of Jordan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other side of Jordan. That's what lordship salvation people will say. Now, somebody who's listening will go, man, y'all are just like, you know, fussing over how many angels can
fit on the head of a needle,
you know,
like it don't matter or something.
Doesn't matter. But if you think about it, it doesn't matter.
It really does. Don't. How many times has a pastor said from the pulpit, hey, listen, you don't have to get your act cleaned up to come to Jesus. You don't have to get everything in order. I'm guessing there are some people who are implying, yeah, you kind of do.
Yeah.
You have to repent of all that stuff first, then come to Jesus. Right.
And I say repentance is not just a change of direction. Repentance is a change of mind. Mm-hmm.
That's a great point.
Change of what I think. What I think about who? What I think about my sins? What I think about my Savior, right? And so repentance is a change of mind.
Yeah. And I like the way you said that too. It's not just that, hey, I've given this up. I've done what's right, but I'm willing to do it. Right. I'm willing to follow you. And I think that reveals, how did you say it? That reveals how much we understand and are committed to the gospel.
It demonstrates how sincere and how committed we are to follow Christ our King.
Great point. I love that.
And I'm willing to be in this fight till the day I die.
Yeah.
And I know I cannot do it, but God has to teach me. And he teaches me what it means to die, although I reckon myself dead, right? I have counted that. But it is being worked out. It is being worked out through trials in my life. It's been worked out through where God allows things to be taken away from me and painful situations, circumstances. Those are the processes. Those are the processes of death. And in that walk of dying, which is already I have reckoned, I'm learning how to be one with Christ.
Yeah.
I'm learning, and I cannot be one with Christ if I'm still trying to live. So I've learned how to die. And in the dying is when I recognize, or I realize, really realize what it means to live in the power of the Holy Spirit.
There's a great verse that I used to think about in one way, and now I think about it another way. I can't remember where it is, but it's where Jesus says how hard it is for a rich man or those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God.
And very similar to Mark chapter 10 is what you're referring to. So let's go over there. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Now, as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running, knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." Verse 26, and they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" So the first thing we see here is that Jesus did not immediately lead this man in the sinner's prayer.
A good point.
You know, when
that's exactly what we would do.
When he said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" I would have said, "Okay, let's acknowledge that you're a sinner.
Yep.
Jesus is the Savior.
Get the piano playing real soft in the background.
Open your Bible to the book of Romans.
Get the pad. Get the pad going and see."
He didn't do any of that. Instead, he began to dialogue with him. And what is interesting to me is that this man was under a conviction, but he was not ready to make a commitment to Christ.
Good point.
Big difference between conviction and commitment. He had a wrong understanding of Jesus. Jesus was more than just a good teacher, because his address to Jesus is "good teacher." And Jesus wanted him to know that he is not just a good teacher. He is God in flesh. He is the promised one. He is the Messiah they've been waiting for. He's the one who's going to come and die on the cross for their sins.
Right.
And so Jesus was not ready to lead him in the sinner's prayer, because he was not aware of who Jesus was.
He didn't have the gravity of this decision he was about to make. I mean, truly, I know it's kind of on the nose, but he had not counted the cost. He didn't know that it was going to cost him anything.
Right.
Even that, he says, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" Like, I just want it to come to me. I just want to get it.
Right. Something else important I want to kind of, in a side note, point out is, I just said, you know, Jesus did not lead him in the sinner's prayer. People say, "Yeah, that's right. Sinner's prayer. There's no sinner's prayer in the Bible." I had a guy come, I knew him from years past, and he started coming to church here. This has been years ago. And then one Sunday evening, I think it is, a Wednesday night, I can't remember. I think Wednesday night, he came over and said, I really need to talk to you." So I thought this man was struggling, or he was going through, he needed some counseling, or he needed some encouragement or prayer. So I'm like, "Hey, brother, come on in. Let's sit down and talk." He said, "I don't know where to begin." "Why in the world would you say that?"
I said, "What in the world?"
Oh, he said, "Pastor Shaw, I'm so disappointed. Why in the world would you say that?" I said, "What do you mean?" I said, he said, "Last Sunday or some service prior, you know, you said, you know, say the sinner's prayer." You know, where is the sinner's prayer? I mean, we are misleading people out here, telling them to pray the sinner's prayer, like all this magical mumbo jumbo that's going to get them into heaven. Just say the prayer and you know, the pearly gates of heaven fly open for them. I said, wait a minute. What are you really saying? Is this a reason why you wanted to see me? I'm just struggling. I'm here. Come on. I mean, explain to me. I said, let me just say this. Let's say you want to be saved. What do you do? He said, "The Bible says very clearly, call upon the name of the Lord."
What do you think that, how do you, I think, said, you,
what,
do
what
that
does that mean when you talk to God? I guess it's a prayer.
Oh, hold on one second. I didn't have a ding, 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 ding.
You gave up.
I should have done this. I should have done that while he was waiting.
Wrong.
I should have done it while I was waiting. I was looking for the ding, 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 ding. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I'm like, so it's a prayer, right? It is. I said, well, when I say sinner's prayer, I'm not giving you some magical formula. What I'm saying is, talk to God. Tell him you need to be saved. The words don't have to be accurate. Your heart needs to be accurate. The heart should say, I'm a wretched sinner. I don't have any hope. I need Jesus in my life. Mm-hmm. I need him to save me. I need him to forgive me of my sins. I believe in his death, burial, resurrection. Mm-hmm. So the whole point is, Jesus did not lead this man, this young man, in some rote prayer. He simply challenged his understanding of who he was. Mm-hmm. Not good teacher. He is the Son of God. Fully God, became fully man, as prophesied in Scripture, as divinely ordained before the world was created. This is who he is. He's right. God in flesh. And so that's where it begins.
100%.
I guess we need another episode.
Yeah, let's do it. That's right. Let's do it.
So much to dive into here. If you enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. We'll continue this conversation on tomorrow's episode. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today. Mm-hmm.